What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, right now we're not getting a whole lot of what happened at this meeting with Zelensky and all of the Western European leaders. It wrapped about, I think, a half an hour ago when we first started getting the reporting, and there's not a lot coming on right now, so we'll see if there's any kind of news conference or anything like that. We'll certainly take you to that as soon as possible. John Seiler is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. John has always been a great guest here the past few years at exposing some of the DEI nonsense that goes on out there. He's the director of higher education policy and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He has written a very interesting piece about the Justice Department cracking down on universities, and he always brings the goods. He brings the receipts, which I always love. So he's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have an audio cut of the day as well. Jen Say is back with us this afternoon, the founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics, a U.S. champion gymnast. We've talked about her Emmy Award-winning documentary film Athlete A on Netflix. She's got a new movie that she took part in here called Generation COVID. And I believe Andrew James, the co-director of the film, is also with us. Jen, are you there? This is unusual to have two guests on at the same time. I'm going to make sure the technology is working. Testing, one, two, three. Are you there, Jen Say?
I am here.
How are you? And then
Thank you.
I think we have Andrew. Andrew, are you there as well?
I'm here. Thank you, Mark.
Well, thank you for coming on with me. I think this is an important topic. Now, first of all, just in case I don't know the latest, is this a film that people can access and watch right now, or is it coming out?
They cannot. Not yet.
Not
we
yet.
Did release it. No, not yet. We released a trailer maybe 2 weeks ago that we put on X. It's gotten a really great response, which is probably why you reached out. But the film is not available yet. And in fact, we're still looking for distribution.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, because, you know, with a topic like this that should get a lot of distribution and a lot of, you know, attention, I wonder how much the legacy media will give you any kind of love, especially you, Jen, just because they know where you are on the women's rights issue, which shouldn't be controversial. But I do wonder how much, attention you might get. But these things, and Andrew, you can weigh in here as well, sometimes they take on a bit of an organic nature, and if we get the word out enough about this film, people are going to want to see it, right?
For sure. And the response has shown that there's a huge audience for the film. But of course, yeah, the legacy media, who knows how they're going to respond. We hope that someone will want to put this out, but if not, that's okay, because we've got other things working. We've got other things we're figuring out, and the film will be released no matter what.
Yeah, because you can go a theatrical route for maybe a short run, or you can just go right to streaming, depending on where you get the distribution. And streaming seems to be where it's at, and that might be the best choice for a movie like this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think we're planning on, or hoping for a large streamer being willing to take us on. Athlete A, the film that I produced and that came out in 2020, that was on Netflix. Now it was COVID, so it was never going to be in the theaters. It was supposed to be. But that can guarantee a really large audience. I mean, for me and Andrew, the goal is that we're not just preaching to the choir here, but that we're reaching a really large audience, and that people have the opportunity to sort of go back in time, re-experience what we all experienced, and maybe see it through a different lens and perhaps reevaluate the stance they had taken back then. I mean, we made it for a broad audience. That's sort of the point. I think you're right. My brand doesn't help us necessarily. I got myself good and canceled not once, not twice, but three times. But I think the quality of the film speaks for itself. I mean, it's so beautifully done. Andrew's done an incredible job. He was not just directing it with me, but the cinematographer, and he's the editor. And it's just it's of such high quality. And the fact is, we haven't heard directly from the children. We haven't heard from them, and I think people should hear it, and they deserve to be heard.
You know, back in the spring when the Jake Tapper book was getting all that attention on Biden, David Zweig put a book out called An Abundance of Caution. I've gotten to know David a little bit. And one of the things that I've said repeatedly on this show is that that book, David Zweig's book, and I don't know if you guys play into that at all or if you've spoken with David, is more important than any book about Biden because it really does dig in deep on the stupid crap that we allowed to have happen 5 years ago and beyond, and especially what happened to these kids. And that's what I'm assuming that this documentary focuses in on, because I still talk to teachers. My daughter entered fifth grade today, but teachers will tell you that, you know, they've seen this in person. These my son's a teacher. There are these groups of kids, especially some of the younger kids, that just still have not caught up. And there's almost like a reaction in, you know, in the legacy media, like none of this stuff ever happened and that we shouldn't be ashamed of it and that we shouldn't try to correct it if it happens in the future. So, Andrew, I'll start with you on that. Why was this movie so important to make? And I don't know if you spoke with David or there's crossover themes there, but I'm curious about that.
Yeah, David plays a very large role in the film. He's great. He's one of our major voices. And what he did for his book definitely comes across in the film as well. We explore some of those topics with him. And we made the film because we don't want it to happen again. And I think there is a concern that it could happen again or something similar could happen again. And I think it's important that a lot of us look back and have this conversation as a country so that we can sort of ask the right questions next time.
Jen, is that your motivation as well? I know you're passionate about this. We've talked about it before.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, David, as Andrew mentioned, is fantastic in the film. He's a key voice. His voice is also very important, as he was one of the only journalists who was writing about the topic in real time. And so what he experienced in trying to get stories placed, et cetera, the censorship that was happening, you know, he also conveys that quite clearly in the film. But yeah, absolutely. If we don't assess what happened, we are destined to make the same mistakes again. And the vast majority of people want to memory hole it because almost everyone was complicit, at least at the very beginning.
How did you address the issue of, you know, I don't want to say teachers, because I think a lot of teachers were on the right side of this, but the teachers union and the leadership, which were holding up signs, you know, in the summer of 2020, you're just going to kill our teachers, right? That was one of the allegations that was made by the union, that if these kids, and I advocated, I remember very specifically 5 years ago when my daughter was going into kindergarten, to say, look, these younger kids in particular need to be back in the class. But there was a refusal on the part of public health officials, on the part of a lot of elected officials, to separate what was happening with younger people compared to people certainly over the age of 70 and 75, because it's not even close to the way. I think we can all admit that this was a very serious virus and we didn't know much about it. But we got to know some things about it pretty early on and didn't adjust the things that we were doing in society to keep people locked down.
Yeah, I think the teachers' unions played a huge role in advocating for schools to stay closed, and we actually know that's a fact, and David talks about that in his book, and he talks about it in the film. So teachers' unions are explored in the film, and we do talk about their role in sort of parroting the sound bites that were coming from the media. And along the same lines, the media plays a large role in the film. They're sort of a villain in the film. You see how they're driving the narrative, and I think our very much to blame for impacting people's views on what should happen.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah. Jen, I know you agree with that, right? I mean,
yeah, I hold special sort of disdain for the media's role in it. I mean, the media is supposed to be the fourth estate. They never interrogated the issues. They did not hold power to account. They repeated government-issued talking points and Big Pharma-issued talking points as if that was journalism. You know, a case could be made, and we do cover the teachers' union's role, and it's not just that they were very resistant to opening the schools. They actually influenced the school opening guidelines. They got them changed from what the CDC. Randy Weingarten met with Jill Biden, so that's all covered in the film. One could argue the teachers' unions represent the teachers, and they were just, you know, doing what they thought was best for the teachers. But public health is also, I would argue, a bit villainous in the film, Andrew. I don't know if you agree. I think you agree with that. But public health and the media, and then, you know, the governors in the large blue states, the public schools in blue states were closed for 18 months. People like to say it was only a few months. It was 18 months, and they were onerously restricted for about another year and a half after that. So half of America's public school children experienced disrupted schooling for 3 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And look, I've always said that we got off pretty easy here, even though my daughter started with, you know, me supervising her Zoom calls in kindergarten. By the end of September, I think that she was finally in school. I mean, they had a mask up and all that nonsense. But we got very lucky around here compared to blue states, Illinois, just, you know, across the river. And that was certainly a good thing. However, Do you speak with, Andrew, I'm very curious, do you speak with parents that might have been all in on the mask up stuff and some of the other nonsense that have regrets now, that kind of take a look back? I mean, we were keeping people from the beaches in Florida, and well, certainly in Los Angeles, not Florida. There were people that were pissed off if you would run in Central Park, run, jog, ride a bike, and you didn't have a mask on. I mean, some of this stuff is just comical when you look back at it.
Absolutely. It's completely comical. And I think that's why a lot of people want to forget about it.
Yeah.
I think probably feel a little embarrassed for what they did. You know, we did talk to some parents who at first were more concerned about COVID, but they quickly realized that the impacts on their children not being in school were far more dangerous than the risks from getting COVID.
Yeah, those were the, you know, as I remember it, the way it was unfurling was very interesting, especially someone like me who talks about issues on a regular basis. And female engagement, the mama bears, that was at an all-time high. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it, because there were a lot of, and this kind of crossed over, I don't know how much you do in the movie, it crossed over into some of the sports issues, because it was one thing that, you know, keeping kids out of school, but
yeah,
then you were keeping them from being active, and you were making kids as young as my daughter's age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, wear masks when they were playing basketball and volleyball and things like that. It was lunacy.
Yeah, we do touch on that. And in fact, so we feature about 6 or 7 young people in the film, teenagers mostly, because they were able to kind of express what they had gone through. And two of them were high school athletes and very much hoping for a scholarship to college, counting on it. In fact, both come from sort of lower income background, and they were counting on football scholarships, and they had to watch their peers in private schools compete in 2021 and even some in 2020 and, you know, play and get recruited for college while they were not permitted to do so. And most of the families in the film actually come from more of a left-leaning background. There's a reason for that, because we focused on states where schools were closed the longest. So those are blue states. And most of these parents, to answer your earlier question to Andrew, did start out kind of on board with everything. And exactly as Andrew said, they saw the harms very quickly. And so they spoke out and faced a ton of pushback and censorship in their communities.
So the film is called Generation COVID. You're still looking for some distribution. The trailer is out there right now. What's a best case scenario, do you think, to get us all to see this film sooner than later?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're going to see it in the next few months, you're going to see it in the next few months. Andrew and I are very committed to that.
If I can help in any way, I just think this is such an important topic. And by the way, here's just a side note. I don't know if you saw this, Jen or Andrew. So last week I had a reporter on that sometimes contributes to the show, Jessica Kotescu, and she writes for the Free Beacon. And she took it upon herself to go to the Democrat Socialists of America conference in Chicago last weekend, right? And you had to have a ticket. You had to have party membership. This is my favorite line. Attendees were also required to submit proof of a negative COVID test prior. That was last week. That wasn't in 2023 or 2022. It was last week in Chicago. There you go.
Yeah, it's become sort of a cultural thing. It's sort of, that's really disappointing. And there's a lot of talk on the left about how, you know, this has all been politicized. And you're like, yeah, you guys politicized it. And like, you're still clinging to it all these years later.
Do you speak with any of the blue state governors or mayors that put some of this stuff into play or not?
We don't speak with them in the film, but they are very present. There is plenty of footage available, and we let them sort of hang themselves, I guess.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you guys for coming on here. Jen, you know I'm such a big fan. You know, it's funny. We had this situation at our MLS game a couple of weeks ago where there was a guy that had a MAGA hat on, and he got escorted from the building. He was not allowed to have, this is an MLS rule, something that was political. And my wife went to the next weekend's game, and she was proudly wearing her XXXY hat. And I was wondering if that hat might even get her into trouble. But they kind of cooled off on the policy, Jen. But it did kind of come to mind because I thought, well, this will be interesting because it's a brand, but somebody could probably make the ridiculous claim that that's a political statement, right?
Certainly. They could make any ridiculous claim. Yes,
and they
have. Could make any ridiculous claim, yeah, that they want. Well, thanks to your wife for wearing it, and thank you so much for having us. And if any of your viewers want to demand that a mainstream streamer take us on, we would be more than happy to hear it.
Is it generationcovidfilm.com if you want to see the trailer?
Yes, or either of our X accounts have it up. But yeah, that's the film's website, and you can look to the film's website for updates as to, you know, when we'll release it.
Well, keep me posted. I'm all over it, so I appreciate it. You know, I'm a fan. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Andrew. Good luck.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. You know, and I hope it's not, here's the one thing that I wish, who was I talking to the other day? Somebody who convinced a friend of theirs to watch The Fall of Minneapolis that Liz Collin did and helped produce and direct in Minneapolis in the aftermath of the George Floyd situation. And all you, and this is what the challenge that I've had, and they never really got good distribution on that. You can watch it online. All you would have to do is watch the first 10 minutes of that documentary, and you would say to yourself, I can't even believe what I'm seeing right now. Why didn't the legacy media show me all this at the time? That's why what Jen said about the media is so important, because a lot of these things, if the media was doing its job, would not have happened. And I always point to this situation in the summer of 2021. Here I was, and I was very interested in getting, you know, all of us back to normalcy. I did my show for an entire year in the basement of my home. And then I got back when I switched over to 97.1. I was on KMOX at the time. So 2021, it would have been the spring of 21. June comes around, they're rolling out the vaccines. I am asked if I would like to participate in a campaign. I'm now going to be paid to do a campaign to promote the vaccine in the summer of 2021. Because as an idiot, and I said this, and I remember beating up on a listener who has every right in the world to hate my guts, because somebody said on a call-in show that I was doing here, I think on 97.1, oh, you just don't get it. You don't understand what's really happening. The people are in the hospital that have this. They've had the vaccine. There were people making the claim, and I'm pretty sure I even said this, that this was a vaccine. I'm sorry, it was a virus of the unvaccinated, right? Well, that was not the case. So here I start doing some messaging in June of 2021 for the vaccine with the Missouri Department of Health, and I'm promoting, and I think it's the right thing to do. As we get into the latter part of July, the whole narrative on that thing has changed. And I noticed that it had changed, and I was not comfortable with some of the things that I was being asked to say on the air to promote for people to get the vaccine. And I went to the agency that was working with the Department of Health. I actually tried to go through my salesperson here at 97.1, who's no longer here, and I was met with some resistance. So I did an end run. And I said, I went right to the agency. I said, guys, these talking points need to be updated. My reputation is on the line. The things that I'm telling the audience right now are simply not true. You remember the claim that if you got the vaccine, you couldn't, you know, transmit it to somebody else. Well, all of that was not true. There were so many things that weren't true. And in the end, I was, this is a former employee of Odyssey, but it became a big deal. And somehow, some way, I was the bad guy in all of that, even though I was trying to make sure that the messaging about the vaccine was accurate. There was no willingness at that point on the part of a particular ad agency, a sales rep here at this station, and the state of Missouri and the CDC to adjust any messaging, because I don't think they knew what they were getting into at the time. And that was embarrassing. It's embarrassing for me that I had to take part in that episode, but I tried to correct it. But I was stunned by the unwillingness to correct the narrative, even though it was so clear that it was inaccurate.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's on your mind right now? A song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.